Acts in chapter 13. As I was thinking this week about the changes that goes on in a person's life as they graduate high school, they go into the workforce, they go to school, whatever it is. Thinking about how, in a sense, they're sent out. And how that with Mikey and, of course, with Erica, in a sense, they're being sent out with Zach, too. But I want to say this up front. Understand that the context always matters of what's being preached. And while we might make application from time to time, in different ways and in different senses, that when it gets down to it, context is king. We have to keep things in context. So understand there will be some application today, but understand also that before we make application, we are going to also give you the context. Because it would be intellectually, spiritually dishonest to do otherwise. So if you have your Bibles, look with me please in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, God willing, today we're going to be talking about sending out. What does it mean to send out? Well, first of all, I want you to understand the context of this is talking about men that was being sent out to the mission field. Men that was being called to minister. And understand that, first of all, the context is in the church at Antioch setting. There's a church. There's a particular church at Antioch. And there were certain prophets and teachers there. You had Barnabas, you had Simeon, you had Lucius, you had Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and of course you had Saul. Who was Saul? That's who we know now as Paul, the Apostle. So you had these men here. And as they were there, understand, they had been involved in the church. They were prophets in the body. They were teachers. Understand this, folks. That if you're going to properly send someone out to the work of God, they first of all need to be saved. Okay? Number one, you got to be saved. You got to know Christ first and foremost as your Savior. You got to know that your sins are forgiven, that heaven's your home. You got to know that all your faith and hope and trust is in Christ. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And that all your trust is in Him. It's not what you do or what someone else has done, or partially in what Christ has done, and partially in what you've done. It's all about Jesus from beginning to end. So you've got to be saved. Number two, if you're going to be involved in church work and be sent out to the work, so to speak, in a church context, you've got to be baptized. That's just plain and simple. The Bible talks about that. What is one of the first steps that people take in serving Christ? After they've been saved, they are baptized. They submit to scriptural baptism. Understand what scriptural baptism is. You can find this by looking at Jesus' life. Whenever he went to John the Baptist, who was sent by God, of course, to preach the gospel and to baptize. He did baptize, no question. And then when that happened, He was baptized in a particular way. He was baptized by immersion. Matter of fact, you can find that also in the book of Acts, where you have the Ethiopian eunuch, where he was saved and made his profession of faith, and they came upon a body of water, and he made the remark. He said to Philip, said, "What hinders me to be baptized, or why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he said to him, "If thou believest with all thine heart that Jesus is Lord or Jesus is God, thou mayest." And he said, "And I believe." So he went down into the water, was baptized, and when he came up out of the water, and understand, folks, to go down into means you have to come up out of. So it's immersion. And, of course, the Spirit of the Lord carried away Philip. Now, here's the thing. You got salvation. You got baptism. Now, you find something else too. In the book of Acts, you have all this listed as well. And Acts chapter 2. And we're not just going to go over part of it there. You have where the gospel was preached by Peter. Then you had those that came under conviction. They called upon the name of the Lord and was baptized, they called upon the name of the Lord. The Lord saved them. Then they were baptized and they were added to the church. 3,000, right? 3,000 right around in there was added to the church. To be sent out by the church, you've got to be saved, you've got to be baptized, and then you have to be a part of the church. Now we're talking about the local New Testament church. And then you're sent out. Now understand, these men that we find here in Acts chapter 13, they were in the church that was at Antioch. They were in that particular body. Then notice, they were part of that body in their teaching and their work. They were active in it. And then notice this, as they ministered to the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean when they ministered to the Lord? Well, understand. This means that while they were ministering to the Lord, they were serving the Lord. What does that mean? Serving how? Serving in that local body. Serving in that local church. God started moving, God started working, and God spoke. Notice this. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now they were ministering, they were serving, they were fasting. And the Holy Spirit said. Notice this. The Spirit of God spoke to the church. Spoke to the church there at Antioch. To send them out. Now separate to me. Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then they were separated to this work. They were set aside. Now I want you to understand something, folks. When they were set aside, that meant that they had a calling of God upon their life. They were set aside to go do a particular work. Now understand this, guys. And I say this to you, Zach, and I say this to you, Mikey. God's got a work for you all. God's got something for you to do. But let me tell you something. God is not going to call someone to do the work of God if they've not done things the correct order to begin with. Salvation, baptism, and being a part and working in and through the local church. Notice this too. They continue on. And they were separated. Now, what was the work that he had called them to do? He had called them to go out and establish churches, to preach, to minister. Now, here's the thing, guys. I will not presume what God's work is for you to do in your life. Just like I will not presume at the work that God's got for Ethan to do in his life. Or the work that God's got for anyone else here to do in his life. Or your life. God equips everyone for different purposes. God doesn't call everyone to preach before a group of people. God doesn't call everyone to go into places and to start churches. But God does have a work for all of us. That work may be to be a missionary at the local factory. Being a lighthouse and being a light to those who are lost and darkness and in sin. To those who need Christ more than anything else. To be lighthouses, to be lights, to be beacons to their families and friends. God has called you for a specific purpose. And that specific purpose, in a general sense, is to bring honor and glory to God. Period. That's it. Whatever it is, whether it be working at a factory, whether it be working retail, whatever it be, your purpose is to bring honor and glory to God in your life. Whether it be going to school, being a teacher, going into the medical field, whatever it is, God has called you for that purpose. My question for you today is this. Are you surrendered to God? Are you submitted to Him? Are you willing, if God spoke to your heart and said, I want you to chuck everything aside and follow me. I want you to give up your hopes, your dreams, and follow me to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel. Are you willing? What if He doesn't call you to do that? What if He simply says this? Be faithful in your job where you're at. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to simply just minister in whatever capacity that God has given you? Oh yes. God called these men. God spoke to them. And God said, separate me, these men. He spoke to the church at Antioch and said, do this. I want you to understand this, guys. And not just you guys, but anyone here. If God is calling someone to the ministry, He is not only going to speak to them, but I believe He will also show evidences in and through the ministry of that local New Testament church. It's the way it used to be. If someone was called to preach, not only did they recognize the call, that is the person being called, but the church saw evidence too. And they'd set them aside. They'd license them for a while. Then they would ordain them to go to the work in which they've been called. Now here's the question I have specifically for you two today. What if God called you? What if God called you to go the deepest, darkest Africa, as they used to say? Would you be willing? What if God called you and dealt with you about preaching? Would you be willing? Notice, God spoke to that local New Testament church. He told them, separate. Separate us for them. for this purpose for which I've called them, or that work. But then notice this in verse 3. Then having fasted and prayed. Notice who did the fasting and praying. It was that local church. They fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. They ordained them. And all that was, folks, was showing symbolically that they believed that the hand of God was on their ministry and that they as a church had agreed to that and they were sending them out. Listen, Mikey, Zach, as far as we know, God's not called either one of you to the mission field. God's not called you to pastor or preach. But understand this, God has called you to glorify Him in your life. That means crucifying yourself daily. That means getting rid of the affections that you want. That means when you wake up in prayer, it's not, hey Lord, this is what I want today. This is saying, Lord, I submit to you. What do you have me to do? And then as He reveals it to you through His Word and through the Spirit of God dealing with your heart and life, you humbly submit to it. Said this earlier. Don't do the stupid things I did. God has His hand on you all. Don't get proud in your arrogance. Don't get proud in your youthful lust. You humbly submit to Him. And you surrender daily to His will and plan for your life. Then as they had fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, they sent them away. We're not going to lay hands on you because we don't know what God's got. But understand symbolically, we lay hands on you when we pray. We lay hands on you when we talk to you. We lay hands on you when we think about you. And understand, you've got a whole group of people here, and I know there's others that aren't able to be here today that wish they could. But man, you've got a whole group of people that love you, that will do anything for you, that will pray for you, that'll love you, that'll help you any way possible. And I want you to understand this, that as you go on in your life, wherever you are, wherever God takes you, that you need to be in the fellowship of a local New Testament church. You need to be surrounded by God's people. You need to be under Bible preaching, doctrinal Bible preaching. You need to have those people around you that whenever you mess up and whenever they see you heading down the wrong path, that they'll throw their hands up and they'll wave like a crossing guard saying, stop! Stop! You need someone besides your dad from time to time that's preaching to you. As much as that kills me to say it, you need someone that's going to come alongside, and you need to hear it from someone besides your dear old dad. You need to hear it from people that love you and that will teach you. And I know you'll get that up there. I know those pastors. But I want you to understand this. You and Mikey both. I guess you could call this a charge to you guys. God has His hand on you all. The question is, are you going to be scripturally submitted to Him? You submitted to Him as your Savior. Are you going to submit to Him doctrinally? Are you going to submit to Him biblically? Are you willing to go and do what He wants you to do? Are you willing to follow the steps and do things biblically and right? Because I'm going to tell you, if you'll do it that way, God will bless you. God will give you what you need. But if you don't, it's going to be a mess. Just know this, Mikey and Zach, we love you. If we can do anything for you as a church or as individuals, we will do whatever we can for you. But our charge to you today is this. Be submitted to God and His truths. And if you'll submit to Him, you'll have a life that glorifies Him. Let's stand. Come and lead us in a verse of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart for any reason at all, we invite you to come.